maybe they lead to a better life. Heartaches, disappointments come along this road of life. And when my heart is contrite, I take it to Jesus Christ. His name alone surely does suffice, for this is the life, the life. By the miseries of life, Jesus Christ comes along and he makes everything all right. For this is the life, the life, this is the life that counts for Christ, that counts for Christ.
Although
it's truly God and me, from this world and all that we can still, I choose the light.
But let's discuss then this whole new thinking that is coming to my ears about, you know, what prophecy is, or what is a prophet. The word prophet is just telling us that there's a person that has sight to look down the road. They are given something that to edify the church. The Lord put prophets, he said, in the church. When you look at Ephesians 4 and 11, he put these things in the church to perfect the saints. Prophecy will not divide the church. It will unify the church. It will not cause one brother to speak against another brother. And it will not cause one prophet to say one thing and another says something totally different that discredit the other one. Because Paul was telling us in Corinthians how it works with prophets, that if one gets something, you hold it, and then the other one speak, and then there's an agreement among them. This whole notion that prophets or prophetess, because he said in this day he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, his sons and daughters shall prophesy. The church has never been against prophets or prophetess. When you say prophet, it includes them. The church has never been against prophecy. The church lives by prophecy. The church is encouraged and edified by prophecy. But prophecy doesn't mean you are a preacher or a teacher. Prophecy means you tell the church what it is that is going to befall the church in terms of what is God about to do. For instance, there was a prophetess that the church knew that she would tell the church, well, a prophecy of hers was that God Almighty, when Bishop Shelton fell asleep in 91, she told the man of God, it was a woman, she was a prophetess, she told the man of God what would happen to the church, and she said when it would happen. She said in February, and she told him the place that it would be, that God was going to do this thing that the church had been looking for. She didn't teach the church anything. She didn't preach anything to the church. But she gave the prophecy of what would happen to the church, what God was going to do. That is a difference in trying to say I'm a prophetess, so therefore I can get up and tell the church you got to repent of your sins and be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ and begin to teach what the word of the Lord said. Those are different. Now, a lot of individuals have since used the word I'm a prophetess so I can get in front of the people and teach and preach and say, God said, do this and this and that and this and that, and this is the word of the Lord and this is what it means. You cannot hide behind that word. There were prophetess in the church for ages. Deborah, the judge, was a prophetess. When she judged God's people, it didn't make her as a judge that she was the speaker or the mouthpiece for God. So on this foundation, a woman still cannot teach. And the scriptures are not going to condemn itself. And no matter what title you give yourself, and you still do the work of a teacher or the preacher, You got a problem. Not just with me, you got a problem with God. And I've noticed lately that there's all this division in the church, in congregations over words. And people split over men's unrighteousness. One man is a liar and one man is a womanizer. So the liar is trying to condemn the womanizer and the womanizer is trying to condemn the liar. It doesn't really matter. All unrighteousness is sin. So why not let the word of the Lord condemn it all and you then both repent and just work together? But that is the enemy that would try to split the church over words, titles, or things of this, things like that. It is incumbent upon me to tell you that, yes, the church believes in everything that God put in the church. But if you are a prophetess, that is a specific job that, first of all, if you prophesy with your head uncovered, you're dishonoring God. So let's get that out of the way. Paul preached to the church in Corinthians. Your hair is a covering for your bald head. A covering means you have to cover all of that because of the power that you have with God and the power that you have with angels. A woman then must cover to receive something from God to the church. Now, if you are uncovered and you got all of these great prophecies, what good is it to have them and yet your head is dishonored? Don't come at me about it. You need to go to the word of the Lord. And let's establish that Paul preached at Ephesus, that he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the church. But I think he used the word saints, but it is for the edifying of the body of Christ. He said all of it was for the work of the ministry till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. He did not want us then to be divided on anything. But when he gave some prophets, they have a specific work. A lot of people use this as a fivefold ministry of ministry. I don't know anything about that language. But let's just say that this is what is in the church, and this is not the only thing in the church. You know, deacons are not here and the missionaries and all of the other works are not all here, but he gave us a foundation for what was going to edify all saints, bringing the church into the unity of God, into the word of God. And then there should be then no division among us. But when you begin then to talk about these spiritual gifts that are in the church, it behooves us to work together and let there not be any division among us. He said, all of us are not apostles. All of us are not pastors. All of us are not teachers. But we are all workers together. I cannot hide behind a title and say I'm doing the work of something that I'm not doing that work. But it is my job and the office that I have to make sure that all of the gifts work together. Because if they don't, then there's going to be a problem within the church. But what is a good thing to look at is if the prophecies are true, then they are true. But if they are not, they were of someone's heart. So if we then look at the work of God and say, what did God put in the church and why? We cannot then throw out of the church because we don't like it and say, well, there are no more prophets in the church. There are no more apostles in the church. A lot of people, you know, don't want the apostleship in the church because that allowed them to do whatever they want to do. So they get rid of the apostleship. And then they say, oh, you know, we don't need those anymore. And, but how do you get everything else that's in the church? If you throw out the apostle in the church, how do you get everything else in the church if they don't put in the church what is wanting? A pastor can't make himself. He has to be made by someone higher than him. And when you begin to then look at the hierarchy of the church, these things are being done for the perfecting of saints. So when a prophetess comes along and says, we all tried this prophetess at her words to see what was it that she was prophesying and was it going to come to pass? And when this prophetess told the church what was going to happen, we then began to look for it at the time that she said and the place that she said it would be. And the prophecy was true. But the prophecy wasn't teaching the church. And the prophecy wasn't preaching to the church. But the prophecy was edifying the saints because it got us to look forward to what God was going to do. And when it came to pass, the church was very happy that it came to pass. So she proved that God used her to tell the church what was going to befall the church. And I'm reminded that when she told the church, she told the man of God what she saw or what God gave her. And she had an opportunity because when she told him, he said, well, it is not for me, it's for the church. He said, go tell the church. And she did. She came before the church. I'll never forget as long as I live. And she began to tell the church what the Lord had given her about what he was going to do. This is a prophetess. And at the time she received something from God, she had her head covered because she knew she was a prophetess and she didn't know when the Spirit of the Lord was going to move upon her. So she stayed covered. As the parable said, men should always pray. So because the spirit of prayer or prophecy could come over her at any time, she found herself covered to receive it from God and not dishonor God. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, he said, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. So every man that prayeth with his head covered, dishonoreth his head. So that means if I pray according to what you all believe that my hair is my covering, I'm going to dishonor my head every time I pray because I have hair on my head. But this is not the ordinance that the man of God is giving the church. I cannot cover my head. Not the hair that's given to cover the bald head. So he said then, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she was shaven. Then you can hear he's talking about the hair now. It is best that you just be bald if you're not going to cover when you're praying or when you're prophesying. Now, if you're not praying or prophesying, you don't have to cover. But when do you know if the spirit of prayer or prophecy is going to come upon you? When you're going to have to call on the name of the Lord to do something for you? So he said, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she was shaven. You might as well be ashamed in all of the humanity and just shave off all of your hair. So if he's talking about your hair there, why would he have to tell somebody to be shaven? I think you understand that quite clearly. But he said, but for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shown bald. If you're not going to cover, he said, be bald. But if be a shame for a woman to be shown or shaven, he said, it's a shame for a woman to be bald or shaven. He said, so then let her cover. He said, for every man ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Here is the point that you understand what the covering is for. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Here the woman should have power over her head or on her head because of the angels. There is a relationship that the woman would dishonor the man and the man would dishonor God. So in this workings of the Holy Ghost, there is a need for the woman to be covered because of her head. And there is a need for a man to be uncovered because of his head. So when you start thinking about where do you fit in these things, and you say you are a prophetess of God, that means you should be covered. There was an ordinance to dishonor a woman in the scriptures was to uncover her head. And the priest did this, was set a woman before the Lord and uncover her head and put the offering of memorial in her hand, which is the jealousy offering. And the priest should have it in his hand, the bitter waters that causes the curse. And the priest shall charge her by an oath and say unto the woman, if no man have laid with thee, and if thou hast not gone aside to uncleanness with another instead of thy husband, be thou free from the bitter water that causes the curse. Here is the unclean to be removed out of the camp. And restitution and things, how it was done in that day. But this point in the Numbers, the fifth chapter, I just reminded myself of that. Wanted to show you where to dishonor a woman, you would take off her head covering. So when Paul was teaching the church why it is necessary for a prophetess, if she's going to get something from God, you get it when you're covered. Now, that's not my thought today because I'm trying to get to where a person uses that office. You then have to use the office for what it says it is. I can't tell someone I am a plumber and I don't know anything about being an electrician, but I'm in here telling what the electrician what to do. And I'm a plumber. And I have plumber on my car, but when I get up to do my work, I'm doing electrical work. I'm going to make a mess. Now, a general contractor knows about everything. So he's the one that go out, say, now, you are a good plumber. I need you to do, you know, to set the plumbing in place. He goes out and get an electrician. If he's going to build this building, a general contractor is like the apostleship. He's going to go get what he needs, and he's going to put them, and they're going to work in their respective offices. Now, I can't call the electrician, and there are no walls yet. But once the plumber have laid all of the plumbing, all the sewer lines and the water lines in, then I can call the brick masons and the cement masons to come in and do their work to put it all underground so we can put the foundation down. But we've already called the plumber. The plumber did his work. He'll come back at a time when it's time to top off everything. He'll put in all of the commodes and all the sinks. I won't ask the electrician to do that. So everybody has to work in their respective offices. So when this church, which is built by Christ, needs its edification, it has its prophets at the time when they spoke of what would happen to us. We had to believe them. But the prophetess that told the man of God what she saw, he said, it is time for the church to know that. Go tell the church. She told the church. And what she said one day in February, and the place was Jacksonville, she said it was going to be, because the church was everywhere. But she said, this thing is going to come in Jacksonville in February. February 22nd of 94, the thing that she saw came. It was me. But the prophecy was given to the man of God. He said, give it to the church. She gave it to the church. She did not work outside of her office. She gave us the prophecy. This is what God is going to do. She didn't teach us what he had done. She didn't teach us anything about what anything. She said what the prophecy was. This is going to happen. A prophecy is the foretelling of a future event. Now, there are some people that take the office and put the title prophetess, and they are head of churches. They are preachers. They are teachers. They do everything. They go into the word of the Lord, and they'll take and say, you know, thus saith the Lord. What's the difference between what you're doing and what the apostle of Jesus Christ is doing or the pastors are doing? What's the difference? There is a difference. But in your case, there is no difference. So to make it more palatable for us, they use this word, I'm a prophetess, but yet they go around preaching and teaching. The scripture tells us, you know, that there are false prophets. There are false women preachers and teachers. They're false. How do you know that they're false? They speak from their own heart. So it doesn't matter what people say. But if they say something and it's to come to pass for the church, then let's look for it. The scripture tells us in Ezekiel 13, he said, likewise, he said, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughter of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. And say, thus said the Lord God, woe to the woman that so pillars to all holes and make kerchiefs unto the head of their statues to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people? And will you save the souls alive to come unto you? And will ye pollute me among my people for a handful of barley? For a piece of bread? To slay the souls that should not die? And to save the souls alive that should not live? By your lying to my people that hear your lies? Why would the people believe in untruth? Why would you go and say something to them that is not true? Ezekiel can look down the telescope of time and warn the church, yes, against women that say they are prophetess and they're not, or men that say they're prophets and they're not. They're speaking out of their own heart, but they're causing God's people to die that don't need to be, don't need to die. So when you say I am a prophetess, or when you say I am a prophet, let's take some examples of what was prophesied. One that comes to mind clearly is what happened on the day of Pentecost that Joel said. It makes a lot of sense when you put it into the context of what does a prophet do? What does the man of God do? What does he do? What does the teacher do? What does the evangelist do? An evangelist doesn't have his own church and he go out and say, I'm evangelizing, and you got your own church and you're not attached to the church. You go evangelize the people in the church. The ones that have come into the church, you go evangelize them and you keep them encouraged. It was amazing that the enemy just gets people all, oh, I got a title and, you know, God called me to do this and I'm going to do that. And come on. There is a standard. There is a working in the church. Let's look at what Joel prophesied in the second chapter of Joel, but I'm going to the second chapter of Acts. After all of those years passed, they were telling us that the prophecies was for a time. But let's get an example of what a prophecy is. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass. You see how he starts off? And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. Here is Joel prophecy. This edified the church that there was a day coming that God was going to pour out the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, upon all flesh. And the sons and the daughters were going to prophesy. On the day of Pentecost, they spoke those mysteries. There were women in the upper room that the Holy Ghost sat on. But when it came time to speak, Peter said, men and brethren, they stood up and gave the church what they were going to do. But women prophesied. They spoke the mysteries. So when you analyze and you go with the Holy Ghost and say, if I am a prophet, what is my specific work in the church? Your work is to say, it shall come to pass. What shall come? The Lord shall do this, he said. So when Joel spoke in the second chapter of Joel and gave the church what God was going to do, here it is coming to pass, and the Lord reminded us of what he said. And they said, Joel said, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon my servant and upon my handmaids, in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall then be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. But that great and terrible, before, he said, that great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, and the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Here at Jerusalem, just like he said, what was going to be in that day before the day of the Lord, which is an awful day, torment, he was going to pour out his spirit. And it came to pass. And in the speech at Pentecost, or at that time, someone remembered when they saw it happening. Joel said this. The prophets said a virgin was going to conceive. Just examine what prophets are and what they say. Then you can determine whether or not that is what you're doing. They tell the church what God is going to do. If a prophet said there was going to be a virgin that was going to conceive, the church would be looking for that. So when this salutation was between Mary and Elizabeth and the Holy Ghost is leaping, all of these things was prophesied what was going to happen to this child. It was prophesied that John was going to be ahead of him as a forerunner. And here are the women now fulfilling it. That's why Mary said, let it be done unto me. Whatever the angel of the Lord said, she said, let it be done unto me. But when the Lord went and told the apostles what to go and teach all nations, to teach them and baptizing in the name, he's giving them a different work than what the prophetess is going to do. There was no prophetess that set up a church. When there was a need to set up the church in the Gentile family, there was no prophetess came in to do that work. Cornelius was asking and praying. The Holy Ghost didn't send a prophetess. It sent for Peter. It sent for the apostle of Jesus Christ. The Lord got him ready for that knock on the door when Cornelius' men got to Simon of Tanna's house. Now, we got to put everything in its perspective place. There's no need for chaos to be in the church and for error to be in the church. And for a woman, a man for that matter, to cause the people to destroy themselves, and it's not needful, not necessary for them to be destroyed. Why would you want them to be destroyed? If you are a prophetess, that means you are in the church and you are working with the man of God and the teachers and the prophets and the pastors and everybody. We're all workers together. One man can't do this. One woman sure can't do this. But if you examine the scriptures and people throughout Hannah, what did the scripture tell you Hannah did? It gave you what her office was and told you what she was doing in her old age and where she was. What great prophecy did it outline? She prophesied this. It just told you what she was. Don't grab that and say, well, she was the head of the church. No, she wasn't. God selected the apostles of Jesus Christ to be the foundation and the pillars for the church. Even when you get to John in the book of Revelation, those pillars are the apostles of Jesus Christ. They are the ones that put in the church what is wanting. That is why the enemy want to throw them out. And a man comes and says, oh, God called me to be a pastor. When did God call pastors? The foundation of this church is built on apostles and prophets. The apostles of Jesus Christ, by the Holy Ghost, will see a man with a gift and appoint that man to an office, or appoint that woman like Bishop Nehemiah did and was saying the prophecy, O prophetess, is for the church. So when Daisy went to him, he knew that was from God. He was a witness with her that that was God that was going to do this. This shall come to pass, and it shall, God will do it this month in this place. He's going to bring forth his anointed one, she said. That's what prophecy is. Now, when I begin to teach the church what I'm doing now, so that there is no error in the church, this is not prophesying. But I could prophesy and say, if you claim to be a prophetess and work outside of your office, I will prophesy you will end up in the gates of hell. That's a great prophecy. And the Lord shall accomplish it, because he's already said he was going to do that. But why go to hell and burn when it gets cast into the lake of fire and you got a way out? Why wouldn't you just obey the word? And I don't know where the spirit of this comes from other than the enemy. And I was exploring, because, you know, I don't do the Facebook thing and the, you know, the YouTube thing and all of that. But I was watching the other day, I was typing in some things, and all of these great prophetess came up, and I was looking, I said, now, Lord, have mercy on my soul. Prophecy is to edify saints on what God is going to do. It foretells a future event. When they ask, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? A prophetess didn't open her mouth and say, do this. Peter opened his mouth and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. When there was an issue in the church where there was some false doctrine coming in, no prophetess or prophet opened their mouth to correct the church. They took that to Peter. Peter and the rest of the prophets and the elders got together and decided what they were going to do. No prophetess was in that saying, let's do this. When Jesus was looking for apostles, he specifically gave them a work. He breathed on them. He taught them. He taught them what to do. A prophetess is inspired by God. He sets on them and make their mouths open and proclaim what God will do. So when you look at Ezekiel and he's telling you what to look for and what not to do, then let's get this thing in order. So what I'm proclaiming to you today is, when God set up the church, and God is not the author of confusion, the enemy is. So if there is an issue where someone is working with a specific title that they say, this is the work that I am doing in the church, and it is causing a confusion, that's not God. That's your first clue that you're not looking at God. Because as I was telling the church on last first day, that you can look at God face to face. If you are doing what the scripture says, you are looking at God face to face. God is his word. And when you see the works of God, you are looking at God face to face. So when you see someone that's working in an office, that they have a title and they are not doing that work, but they're doing something else, you look at God and don't follow them. Because what they're doing is going to lead to death. And why would you die, Ezekiel said, and you don't have to die. When you're looking at God face to face, you're not working in an error. Because when the man of God prophesied to us that we would go back and take 22nd and Bainbridge Street, that we would get all of our churches, because even though the enemy had it, didn't stop God from telling us we were going back. Just like he told Abraham, the Lord prophesied to Abraham about the servitude to the Egyptians, but he would deliver the church after 400 years of that. Did not God keep his word to Abraham? So like man, he kept his word to us. It is going to be, it is, because God has said it. So when the prophecy went ahead, and now a man come and say, oh, I ain't worried about going back there, and we can't afford this, and who cares what we can't afford? God can. God can do anything. And I believe God. And I have proven that I believe God. Because God gave me the victory. After so many years, God gave me the victory when he said he was going to do it. He said, one day in July, I will do it. July 25th of 2006, God did it. But the enemy is still raging me. That's fine. There will be no bleeding of the sheep when I go. There will be nothing heard from anything that's there when I go. But a liar cannot stand. There's prophecy against a liar. He said, a liar cannot tarry in my sight. Take that prophecy. Take the prophecy that all false prophets shall end up in the lake of fire. Take that. God said it. If you have an office, work in your prospective office. If you are a cook, your specialty is pastries, don't go try to do the meat. Work where you do your best. So my thought to you is, when God has a general contractor, he will go out and find there are so many things that and work that needs to be done. Because we are getting ready to rebuild that thing that was destroyed by the enemy. We're going to rebuild it brick by brick. And we're calling on everyone that has an office to work in your office. But don't put behind your name that you are an apostle of Jesus Christ and you haven't heard the voice of God and God haven't called you. If you haven't prophesied any truth, don't put prophet behind your title or the title of prophecy with you. Just come and be a doorkeeper. When they ask me, say, Bishop Patterson, what is it that you want? Why you want to overturn Omega? I don't want to overturn Omega. God never set up Omega. God never called Kenneth Shelton to the ministry. Bishop Shelton said that he was an anathema, that he was an unbeliever, and that he was a reprobate concerning the faith. Why would God then put a reprobate over the church that did not believe in this way, that have destroyed the way? God wouldn't do that. He said, a remnant shall be saved. But he said, I would give them a shepherd that have his heart, not the heart of the enemy. So take this prophecy, because God fulfilled it in us. He said, I'm going to give you this parable. I'm going to give you what this parable means before it comes. Men should always pray and not faint. Then he gave us the prophecy. There was a woman that kept going to a judge over and over and over again until that judge got sick of her. He said, let me avenge. He said, now you see what this unjust judge did. He said, won't I avenge the church? And I find myself avenged of God. So I can put behind my name a believer. I can put behind my name a true worshiper because I believe the prophecy. I have lived the prophecy. The prophecy has been fulfilled. So what can I say? I have seen God face to face and my life has been preserved. My eternal life is preserved. This is the joy that I get when someone hears the word of God and then they obey the word of God. Because then God has a hold of the heart. Because my eyes see the things that the Holy Ghost want me to see. And I make a note of it. A woman heard me about praying with a covering. I noticed in her car, she has her covering. It didn't get past me that God is saying, I got this heart. So I know then who is a true worshiper of God. And everybody is at their pace that the Lord is going to do a mighty thing for them that believe him. Not for them that say, oh, I heard you, but I don't believe that. But they know that's what the scripture says. So when you see someone's heart is turning to God, what do you think God is going to do with that heart? He's going to turn it to him and keep it. God will then reward a soul for obeying the truth than someone that discarded and say, oh, you don't have to really do that. That's not what it means. My hair is my covering. Really? Then I got a problem praying because I got hair. Always have hair on my head. I don't think I'm going to go bald. My daddy didn't. My mama didn't. So I'm going to have a problem. I can't ever pray. I'm going to dishonor God all the time because I'm praying with a covering over my head. That's just asinine. But when you look at the word of God, it is full of prophecies. There's coming a time that the goats are going to go to the left and the sheep are going to go to the right. And the Lord is going to count somebody worthy and snatch them out of hell because they believed. Is that going to be you? Have you repented of your sins? Have you obeyed the word of the Lord? Have you gone down in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, for the pardoning of your sins, for the forgiving of them? Take that prophetic work. Take that teaching and that preaching that Christ is come. Christ lives now in us. We are now the sons of God, the daughters of God, the people of God, the body of Christ. We are Christ's. What about you? Are you going to speak the words of God or are you going to find something and say, well, it don't really mean that? The word is the word. And it's not going to go back to God void. When that word put on flesh and blood, it established everything it wanted men to do to be saved. And then it didn't go back. The spirit didn't go back to God. Absent of what he said. To accomplish everything that he declared when he walked in flesh and blood. So I take this opportunity to ask you. Will you work in the office that the Holy Ghost has given you? If that is to be a doorkeeper, keep the door. If it is to stay in like Anna did and work around the temple, let that be it. But don't work outside of your office. Don't go try to do electrical work. Are you a plumber? You might stand in water and hold up, try to get some electrical currency to go through you. This is a great opportunity for you to study and show yourself approved. And I thank you for this opportunity. And again, I say, have I become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. And this is Apostle Anthony from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. Visit us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We say to you, peace be unto you.
Do you have it?
Do you have it like the Bible says?
Do you really have it?
Do you have it?
See, we have it.
Do you have it like the Bible?
You gonna need it?
Yes, I've got it.
You gonna?
Yes, I've got it like the Bible.
You said I suffer not. I suffer not. I've got it. Come to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the apostolic faith. You gonna need it. Need it like the Bible says. You gonna need it. Truly need it. My Lord, you gonna need it.
Thank you for tuning in to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith radio broadcast. Join us where everyone will be uplifted, young and old. For more information, visit us online at theapostolicfaith.org.
Listen Sunday morning, 10 a.m. until 11 a.m. over radio station WCGL, 1360 a.m., where Christ gets lifted. Listen Monday night, 10 p.m. until 11 p.m., and Wednesday, 7 p.m. until 8 p.m. over radio station WTMR, 800 AM, where the Master reigns.
Got it. Yeah.